are from the book of Hebrews, which we're going to be breaking into, and then Mark's Gospel. So Hebrews 1 and verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Now, is that the same translation up there?
Yeah.
It is. Great. Okay. He has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he appointed as heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And then skipping through to chapter 2, verse 5. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to him. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes us holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our Holy Gospel is taken from Mark and chapter 10. And actually, we're just reading from verse 13. So if you find that spot, sorry. I'm going to major on the Hebrews reading, but we will read this little portion of Mark chapter 10. People were bringing the little children to Jesus to have them touch him, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them and blessed them. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, the Lord. Amen. So, Lord, we do pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. We thank you for your word to us. We pray that by your spirit you would reveal Jesus to us in your word, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Andrew Shepherd preached during lockdown for those who heard it, and it's on YouTube if you didn't and you want to catch up on that kind of little children and Jesus passage from Mark's Gospel. And it was a really in-depth unpacking of that, and it's really worth listening to. So do have a listen to that. So this morning I thought I'll preach on the, I was going to preach on this Hebrews passage. We're breaking into the book of Hebrews, and we will go through Hebrews, although we'll be still reading Mark at the same time. Okay, you all right with that? Cool. So Hebrews chapter 1, there's so much to say, as always, but this is a really, really exciting thing. So this is really big picture stuff, really big picture. But before we dive into it, I just thought it'd be good if we, each of us just thought for a moment where we're at in life, bit of a big question for early on a Sunday morning or whatever, but where are you at? Where am I at? Where are we at in life? We're all carrying things. We're all going through this, that, and the other. Those whom we love are going through things. We carry people on our hearts. There's pressures, there's pains, there's sorrows, there's joys, there's little blessings, there's encouragements, there's all sorts of things that we carry. And just as I'm asking us all to do that, I'm doing it myself, and I'm just thinking, where am I at? What have I been going through? Lockdown's been such a strange time, hasn't it? And these last few weeks, or this last couple of months really, has been an odd time. For ourselves personally, for our community here in Waikanae and on the Kapiti Coast, and also for the whole country, obviously. It's a strange time in the world. And then there's all our own things and our own relationships and the people around us and all of that. As we come together on a Sunday morning and we bring all of these things, we bring ourselves. There's no point in pretending we're any different, you know? This is who I am. This is what I carry. This is what I bring to my God. There's that wonderful prayer, isn't there, at the beginning of a service that we often pray, where we say, now I'm going to forget it. What is it? Someone start me off. You know, the one, the opening our hearts one. my mind's gone blank. Sorry. Thank you. There you go. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open. Just once you start, you keep going. All desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. I love that. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Worthily praise you. Yeah. Ah, there, we got there in the end, didn't we? Mind blank. But I love that. You know, Almighty God, from whom no secrets are hidden. I love that line. For me, I just find that so, because it's coming to a loving God, and there's no point in hiding anything because he loves me through and through, and he loves me in all those awkward places and bad places and difficult places and everything, you know? There's no secrets hidden from him, and I just feel, as I pray that prayer, I often feel like I can relax in his presence. With all the bit, you know, the good and the bad and the ugly and the beautiful and the everything in between, I can relax. From whom no secrets are, there's no point in trying to hide. And he loves me. He loves you. He loves us. So as we come, I want to just look at this big picture that Hebrews paints, because I think it draws us out of the ourselves, as it were, or it puts ourselves and all that we're carrying in this big picture. And this big picture is this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers, to those who came before us, through the prophets in many times and various ways. So, you know, he spoke in the Old Testament. He spoke in the Hebrew scriptures, in the Torah, in Moses, through Moses, through the law, through the prophets, through the Psalms. He spoke in all of these ways. But then the writer to Hebrews says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. God has actually stepped into his creation and has spoken himself through his Son, whom we can speak, you know, touch, handle, as John said. You know, we've handled the word of life. I mean, you know, he sat next to me. I had my arm around him. We shared, we broke bread together. It's just incredible stuff. And this Son, he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. It's just, there's so much language in the New Testament of how Jesus is God. I mean, Jesus, says at the beginning of John's Gospel, we looked at last week, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But, you know, here's a bit more language of that. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So it talks about all these things. And then, and there's so much that we could say, but we're not going to, trying to be disciplined. But then he starts quoting from Psalm 8. And I love Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is a messianic psalm, it's known as. It's a psalm which really obviously speaks of the Messiah. And in Psalm 8, it talks about the Messiah as the one who comes like the Son of Man. So the quote is from verse 6 of chapter 2. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? What is man? What is humankind? What are people, men and women? What are we that you are mindful of us? And in the psalm, it's talking about, you know, you've created the stars of the heavens. So that's the previous verse, you know, and it goes, you created all the stars of the heavens. And if you look up at the night sky, it is absolutely incredible. And have you ever had that experience where you feel like you're almost disappearing into the gaps between the stars when you suddenly realize the vast, vast distances that your eye is seeing? It's crazy if you ever, you know, it's mind-blowing experience. It's just incredibly beyond our comprehensionally huge universe. What are we that you should care for us? And yet, you do. What is man, what is humankind that you are mindful of us? The Son of Man that you care for him. And the psalm talks about the Son of Man. The Son of Man is an expression that Jesus used of himself. Jesus called himself Son of Man. And one of the meanings of that is simply, it just means me, you know, I. It's a sort of idiomatic expression. but the other meaning is, and the obvious one to all his Jewish hearers, is that the Son of Man is this figure in Daniel chapter 7. And in Daniel chapter 7, there's the Ancient of Days. Do you remember hearing that bit about the Ancient of Days? And we sometimes sing that song. And the Ancient of Days is God, and he's seated on his throne. And the Son of Man comes on the clouds of glory up to the Ancient of Days. And the Ancient of Days gives the Son of Man a kingdom which will last forever, and a dominion which is eternal. All right? And Jesus says that's he calls himself the Son of Man. And he, in fact, quotes that passage when he stands, you know, on trial. And he says, and you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory, which is that bit from Daniel chapter 7. The Son of Man comes in the clouds of glory to the Ancient of Days and is given a kingdom and a dominion which will last forever. All right, you happy with that? Got that? So Jesus is saying, when he calls himself Son of Man, that's me. You know, one, I will receive and inherit this kingdom. But it's interesting because in Daniel, there's this figure, the Son of Man, who's a kind of person, as it were. But then a moment later, a few verses later, it's talking about the Son of Man and the saints as if they're the same. The saints are going to inherit this kingdom. And it's almost like the Son of Man is more than just one person. Or the saints and the Son of Man are all kind of mixed up together. And the holy ones, or the saints, and the Son of Man inherit the kingdom. And they all receive this eternal kingdom. Does that make sense? So the Son of Man receives a kingdom, and the Son of Man and the saints receive a kingdom. And it's the same kingdom from the Ancient of Days. All right? Now, what the heck am I going on about? What's all this about? It's this. It's that Jesus was made for a little while lower than the angels, all right? We are sort of lower than the angels, right?
Yeah.
Jesus says there will come a time when we will judge everything, including the angels. But for a little while, he was made lower than the angels, i.e. he became a human being. He became one of us. The Son of Man, who's going to be presented to God, you know, the Ancient of Days, and receive a kingdom which will last forever, became one of us. What are mortals? What are human beings that you are mindful of us? The Son of Man, that you should care for him. He became one of us, alongside us. And then he inherits this kingdom, and so do the saints, so do his people. If you and me are the body of Christ, and we are, then what the head inherits, the body inherits, right? So we receive a kingdom which is everlasting. So for a little while, he was made lower than the angels, and then he's crowned with glory and honor. He became one of us so that he could lift us up. And Paul says, doesn't he, that we'll be seated with him. We are, he says, seated with him in heavenly places. Does that make sense? So in the psalm, he says, and I'm just going to grab the psalm actually because it is so cool. Psalm 8. O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man, that you care for him. You've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So, brothers and sisters, this is it. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet. That's talking about Jesus, the Son of Man, and you and me, because we are in Christ and we are his body. And we are, he was made a little while lower than the angels, you know, he became a Son of Man. Does that make sense? And he's lifted us up. So what it talks about Jesus, it talks about the saints. And that's exactly what was said in Daniel. Jesus, or the Son of Man rather, will receive a kingdom. The saints will receive the kingdom. All right? So I love this psalm. And do you remember what I said about, I don't know, if you know, and in lockdown, we looked at a psalm one time. And I was just, sorry? Psalm 146. And we looked at the fact that in the Old Testament, the sea is like chaos, okay? The Hebrew people did not want to go near the sea if they could help it. It was like the place where all the monsters lurked, Leviathan and Behemoth and all those kinds of things. And it was the place where things were out of control, you know, and you get so many things in the Psalms about waves and torrents and things overcoming, you know, and overwhelming and all that sort of thing. So the sea was this chaos that needed to be controlled. And it's where kind of evil was, as if you like, you know, in a kind of pictorial language. And in this psalm, it says, you've made the Son of Man ruler over works of your hands, put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds, beasts of the air, fish of the sea, and all that swims in the paths of the sea. So all things are under Jesus' feet, including chaos and evil. All things are under his feet. And all things are under our feet if we're in Christ, and we are the body of Christ. Not because we've done anything, it's because we're in Jesus and he shares that with us. He shares that heavenly place, that authority with us. We're supposed to be kings and queens and priests of creation, a royal priesthood. We're supposed to be those who are bringing order. Is that all right? So as we come this morning and we bring all these things to the Lord, where we're at, what does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for me? You know, I think what it means for us is that we're putting these things into a way bigger picture, a picture in which Jesus has come for a little while lower than the angels. He's become one of us, and then he's been lifted up on high and presented at the right hand of God. He shares the throne of God. And we are with him. Paul says. You know, we are with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And all things are under his feet. And that means all things are under our feet because we're with him. Isn't that incredible? Now, we haven't seen it all fully in place yet, but it will be one day. And so for me, what it means is I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. All things are under his feet. And therefore, because I'm in him, all things are incredibly under my feet. I mean, they're not under mine, you know. It's not in some kind of me thing. It's a Christ thing. But I'm in him, and so all things are under our feet, under his feet. And so for me, what that means this morning as I gather with the people of God is that I've got hope. I know that whatever I'm going through is not going to last forever. And I know there is hope. I know there is a future. I know that Jesus is the God of resurrection, that we're not just left in a difficult place with Jesus. You know, if he'd just died and that was it, that would be it. You'd be like, oh, well, we all die, you know. But he rose again from the dead. There's always resurrection. There's always hope. He's always going to beat death, the devil, you know, chaos, anything, disorder. And that means for me as well that it's worth doing stuff to change things. It is worth doing stuff to change things. If we see stuff in our lives, in the lives of the people around us, in the lives of our community, in people's lives that we love, that is disorder, that is chaos, that is out of order, it's worth seeking to bring change. It's worth it. Because God is about that kind of activity. That's his activity. That's the stuff God likes doing. He likes bringing order. He likes bringing, getting rid of chaos and bringing some order, and it's worth working for. Does that make sense? Okay, well, I think I've probably said enough, but that's it really. We're part. It's just amazing that you and me as the body of Christ have this hope. This eternal hope that we are part of him and that all things are under his feet, including all of chaos, all of evil, all suffering and all pain, everything. And that those things will one day pass away. And that while we're here, we're part of bringing his order, bringing his peace, bringing his kingdom, bringing his love, bringing hope. It's worth it. It's worth working towards. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that for a little while you were made lower than the angels, that you became one of us, and that you are crowned with glory and honor, and you've put all things under your feet. And we thank you that you have taken us up into yourself, that we're part of you, we're your body, and you're our head. And we thank you, Lord, that that means that all things are under our feet in you. And we pray that as we seek to go through this week, we just lift to you right now those things that we're concerned about, those people that we're concerned about, anything we're troubled about, Lord Jesus. Stuff where we want to see some blessing and some order coming into the chaos, some goodness, some righteousness, some peace, some love. Lord Jesus, we ask in your name, the God of resurrection, the one who has raised from the dead, who has broken the power of death, who has put all things under his feet. We ask in your name, Jesus, that you would bring your kingdom, your goodness, your love, your peace, your kindness, your kingly rule to these situations, to our lives, to the people around us. We thank you that you do that. Guide us in working with you. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.